If you have your Bibles, we'll share the reading of God's holy word. I begin my reading this morning, and my scripture reading is a bit lengthy. You'll need your Bibles and turn quickly. But in the 27th division of the Psalm, there's a glorious verse nestled in this beautiful chapter. Verse number 4. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord to inquire in his temple. Now there are two schools of thought on interpretation. Some thought David wanted to live in the church all of his life. I really don't think that's it. For I, when I started in the ministry, lived in the back of the church. I really believe he's talking about the eternal house of God. I want to dwell with the King throughout all eternity. And I want to behold his beauty. And I want to see his glory. In Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10, there's another little verse that I want to share with you. And it's, well, maybe we ought to read 38, begin at the 38th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. And there's a glorious verse of scripture here. I think we'll back up. We'll go to the 17th verse. I won't read it all. When he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, and honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these I've observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up thy cross and follow me." He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Let's step over just a few chapters, and this is my final reading in the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we begin in the 38th verse. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus, or at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" I want to speak this morning on the subject, simply two words: one thing. May we bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for this gathering in the name of the Lord. Thank you for the hand of God that is upon the meeting today. I ask that thy name may be glorified through the preaching of the word of the Lord. We thank you for these days of refreshing, revival. Hundreds have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, may this be the crowning day of this camp. And may the hand of God touch every life that is present. And those that are watching by satellite also. And to you will give the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing Jesus talks about, singleness of vision. He said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled with light. No man can look two ways. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Jesus talked about singleness of mastery. For he said, no man can serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other. No man serves God on Sunday and lives all week for the devil. That's the reason why nightclub singers that think they can sing a little ditty for Jesus on Sunday and sing for the devil all week are deceived, for they're on their way to eternal destruction. No man can serve two masters. Jesus talked about singleness of goals. He said you cannot serve God and money. Your pocketbook cannot determine what direction you're going. We're followers of the King of Glory. No man can serve God and mammon. Jesus spoke of singleness in our labor. He said he that putteth his hand of the plow and looking back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. Well, I'm ready to shout, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. He that putteth his hand of the plow and looking back. One time, many of the disciples did not follow Jesus anymore, and he turned and said, will you go away? And I like Simon. He's the first to testify, maybe in the first to backslide, but I love him. He raised up and said, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Jesus talked about singleness in our labor. Jesus spoke about singleness in our influence. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. We're either a gatherer or a scatterer. Pretty strong, isn't it? You're either helping bring in the harvest or you're helping destroy the harvest. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, we're gatherers to the harvest. Any ministry that doesn't have evangelism, world missions, a vision to reach the world is a ministry that should be destroyed. God's heartbeat is rescuing lost souls from the bondage of sin and the clutches of the devil. Say amen. We hear so much about this ministry. May God Almighty lift our eyes and let's behold, the fields are white. The commission is go. The word of the Lord is to preach, and let's proclaim his glorious gospel. Hallelujah. To the ends of the earth. The ministry of Jesus Christ. Singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. Jesus spoke about singleness of friendship. For he said, he that is not with me is against me. There are no part-time Christians. God does not have sharecroppers. You from the Mississippi Delta know what I'm talking about. We're either all for Jesus or we're none at all. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Jesus Christ is Lord. I wish we could shout it. That means sole owner, sovereign ruler, complete overseer. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. When I read it today, he spoke about singleness of production. He said, if you make the tree good, it isn't hard for the fruit to be good. In fact, it is a terrible job for a lemon tree to produce bananas. It is a struggle for an elm tree to grow apples. I said it is a job for a maple tree to produce oranges. It is a terrible struggle. You'll have a nervous breakdown trying to be a Christian when you've never been born again. But if you've been born again, you're a new creation. Hallelujah. Then you're a new creation. You're a child of God. Saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's no difficulty for a Pentecostal to be Pentecostal if you got a Pentecostal experience. But it'll give you a nervous breakdown if you don't get it. You'll play out in a few nights. We've been hearing these. I got to bed last night at 20 minutes till 2. After midnight, we were still. God is pouring out of His Spirit. And it's wonderful when your cup runs over and you drink from living fountains and it's real. One thing. David said, Lord, I've got one prayer request. One, I want to go to heaven. I want to dwell in your hill. I want to live in your city. And if I could just give one prayer request this morning, it would not be for wealth. It would not even be for health. It would not be for promotion or prosperity. Lord, I want to go to the city. I want to live where the Lamb is the light. Glory. I want to enter in. I'll shout hallelujah. I don't know whether I will when I first see Him or not. But when I hear Him say, well done. If I could just hear those words, you folks that live on Glory Avenue a few blocks over are going to hear a commotion. It's old brother Don. He made it in. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I want to go to the city. One thing have I desired. I want to live in the city of God. Well, if you want to go to heaven, there's some requirements. David asked the question in the 50th chapter of Psalms, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And I've got some good news for you. You won't have bad neighbors in heaven. My. You could live by folks down here that are so mean, they have to sleep with one eye open to keep from hurting themselves. I know, because I saw a woman the other day that was so ugly in her spirit, if she went to the ocean, the tide would refuse to come in. And here, heaven's going to have a blood-washed, overcoming, triumphant, pure, undefiled, separate, holy, sanctified, victorious, cleansed church by the blood of the Lamb. Shout it, hallelujah! I want to go to heaven. If for no other reason, I'd just like to have good company throughout eternity. It'd be awful to have a mansion and live next door to some cantankerous. Backbiting, complaining, jealous, stubborn, mean, hateful. I haven't found you yet. Let me keep preaching. Heaven's going to be a place where the pure and the holy and the righteous and the undefiled. So the requirements for the city, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, speaketh the truth in his heart, backbiteth not with his tongue, taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, for he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. I asked Jesus, I said, Lord, if we want to go to heaven, what's the requirement? And he began number one. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's not church membership. Then he said, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he said, except you become converted and become as little children. You see, God's not going to have any big shots in heaven. Oh, that thrills me. Hallelujah. Have you seen some of these snooty folks down here? Get two car payments ahead and a bulldog and a cigar. I've got news. I'll tell you who's going to dwell in his holy hill. The pure and the humble. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb forevermore. Lord, who shall abide except ye repent, he said, ye shall all likewise perish. Old-fashioned repentance is necessary to get inside of the gate. The word repent means turn around, turn from your sin, renounce your old life. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, sin. Goodbye, booze. Goodbye, Bud Dumber and Bud Wiser. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a new creation. I renounce. I repent. I confess my sin. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Jesus saves. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall no wise enter in. Now the scribes and Pharisees, they offered long prayers. In fact, I'm not sure God even hears pretty prayers. You know what kind he hears? When you get your nose in the carpet and you start... When I get ready to pray through, I don't want you there. See, I'm going to tell God things you don't need to hear. Ooh, God, when we offer these beautiful prayers that we impress folks with, Almighty God, thou giver of life, you that traced the streams down the mountainsides with your finger and made the brook run into the river. He looks down and said, looky, looky, there he goes again, dummy, dummy, dummy. You know what he's looking for? Somebody that'll cry out of a heart, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Touch my life. Change me by your power. Hallelujah. When Simon was going under, you remember he walked on the water. And when he was going under, he didn't have time to pray that kind of prayer. Man, when you're taking in water, faster than you can spit it out. And it looks like you're going down for the last time. You don't have time to say, Almighty God, you that polish the sun, moon, and stars and keep a watch by night. You know what he cried? Save me! Hallelujah! Glory! God wants somebody. They'll cry out after God. One thing have I desired. I want to go to the city. I'd rather go to the city. I want to live in the city of God. Want to behold his beauty. I want to see his glory. If I had one prayer request, Lord, I want to dwell in your holy hill. I want to abide in your tabernacle. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place? I'd sure like to be living. I don't think I'd make a pretty corpse. You know, you've got to have look pretty good while you're alive. I realize the undertaker can mash a grin on your face, but sometimes it's artificial. Your friends know it's not you. I want to go to the city. Isn't it going to be something? One day a trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One thing I pray, one thing I want, and that's to go to the city. I want to go to the city. Now, you can't live wrong and get inside of the gate. Because the Bible said, Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise. I know Dr. Sounding Brass is teaching you can, but the book said you can't. There shall in no wise enter into the city anything that defileth or worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they whose names are written in the book of life. That's the crowd. I must hurry. Jesus had a young, rich young ruler come to him. I like this fellow. I like him. He's one of my favorite characters, but he didn't get saved. He was rich, he was young, he was healthy, he was holy. He came running to Jesus. I see folks that start down some of our churches act like they've got tired blood. He came running to get saved. And he knelt at his feet and he cried, good master, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, son, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. You need to know that Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus Christ is God. Not a prophet, not just another one of the fellows. No. Not even a great man. He is the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And he said, thou knowest the commandments, son. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. We said, master, I haven't got a problem with these. I keep all of those. But he really hadn't, I don't think, because that first one would have got him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. But then the master said, son, one thing thou lackest. It takes more than lip service to follow me. It takes more than just singing in the choir. You're going to have to forsake all. Sell out, son. And when we leave these campgrounds and go back to the world, God's going to expect us to make some dedication. Goodbye. Sell out. Goodbye, world and flesh and the devil. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm selling out. I'm sold out to do the will of God. One thing you lack. And there's a many a person that's back in the very gutter they came out of because they couldn't sell out. Son, sell all you've got. Sell out and give God all of your life. Jesus said, he that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. No, he doesn't ask you to get rid of your business. He doesn't ask you to become a pauper, a welfare agent. He asks you to become this. Dedicated, committed, a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. One thing, son, you lack, and that's selling out. Jesus came by Martha's house. Martha seemed to be the landowner. Lazarus was her brother. Mary was her sister. And he came by one day for lunch. And Sister Martha was cooking chocolate pie. He was fixing chicken and dumplings. Cornbread and fried okra. Jambalaya and gumbo. Crawfish etouffee. Ooh, it was gonna be a dinner. I'm telling you, they were planning a big one because they had a special guest. Jesus came by. And she was in the kitchen getting everything ready, and she was working and making beds and sweeping floors. And Jesus was back out in the patio, and they were having church. Because anywhere Jesus is, things are going to happen. You're going to hear something when Jesus is there. And Martha, all of a sudden, she had one of her spells. She decided that there was some in the church that wouldn't do anything. So she came to the patio with a prayer request. Master, did you know Martha's not doing a living thing? I'm in here trying to roll out pie dough. And she's out here in this patio. And Jesus looked up and said, Martha, Martha, you're missing it. I'm not asking you not to serve lunch. We're going to have lunch. But there's one thing that is needful, even more than food, and that's to come into His presence, sit at His feet, bask in His love, fellowship with Him, hear His word, feel His touch, have a fresh touch of God Almighty. Church, can I tell you, with all of your activities, your softball teams, your gymnasiums, your Sunday school contests, your bus rides, everything you've got, you better stop and have one thing. Sit at the feet of the Master. Come back from some of our frivolous activities and let's wait on the King. Brother Swigert, he's looking for a church that will move out of its little bitty plan and wait upon Him for His glory to come again. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I think it's about time to shut down some of the activities till we get the glory. We are thinking now activities are accomplishments. We've got something going on every night, a covered dish, an open dish, an empty dish. Say amen. The hornet toads will play the bullfrogs. There's more activity in the gymnasium than there is in the altar. Don't you look at me like that. There's nothing wrong with the gymnasium. But there is something wrong when the church is dry, the altars are barren, the tithes are tearless, and God is not moving and there's not a world vision. God told Moses in his church, I'm not going with you anymore. And Moses said, listen, if you're not going, we're not either. Because we need more than the banjo. Don't know what that is. And I can almost see old pastor one day. It's a job stop all that folk, about 3 million of them. And he told Joshua, tell that trumpet player to blow his horn and tell him to stop. And Moses hollers and said, Joshua, stop the Royal Rangers. Stop the missionettes. Stop the WMs. Take down their quilting frames. Stop the men's fellowship. We're going to stop. What does the old brother want? What does the old pastor want? All I heard is we're going to stop till we get his presence back in the church. My Father, would somebody come apart from the cares of this life and let's sit at the feet of the Master and feel the touch of God and see the fire of God fall again in His church. Hallelujah! Brother Swigert, I believe if we could have 3 weeks of this, we'd have another Azusa Street right here in Baton Rouge. My Lord, Brother Swigert, God wants to do something that would go to the ends of the earth. It can cover every nation. Come apart, church. Come apart to God. Sit at His feet. Sit at His feet. Sit at His feet.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's wait on Him. Let's find Him. Let's listen to Him. Let's hear Him. One thing is needful, church. One thing is needful. Come back to the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Come to the cross. Come to Calvary. Come to the upper room. And let's wait for His glory. I challenge you, church. If you'll fast and pray, if you'll seek His face, if we'll repent of our indifference and come and sit at His feet, we're going to hear words. Martha, Martha, I thank God for your activities, but that won't get it. She's chosen the good thing. And I read the rest of that verse. It won't be taken away from her. The pie will soon be gone. And the epiphany will soon be gone. But when you've heard from the King, hallelujah. 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 One thing I want. I want to live in your house. One thing is needful, and that's sell out. Give up self, goodbye. Do not care what it takes. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You'll really never be what God wants you to be till you're willing to put everything on the altar. God, somewhere, every man that's used of God, woman, boy, or girl, came to the place where they had to make a decision to put it all on the altar. Every missionary that is worth its salt had to make that decision. Every preacher that's worth his salt had to make that decision. Every person that's used of God, there came a place where you cried in Gethsemane and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." One thing, and that's to sit at the feet of the Master. Let me hurry. Jesus came upon a charismatic group, I think, because they're always trying to decide who's right. Have you read any of these magazines lately? Some of these magazines will give you high blood pressure of the spirit. Somebody that hadn't had a Holy Ghost touch in 10 years is writing about who's got it. He wouldn't know a Holy Ghost blessing if it ran over him. I'm hurrying. But Jesus passed by, and they were having a little debate. Had a man that couldn't see, and they had him out there, and one of them said, "He's sinned. I know why he can't. He's blind. He's sinned." Another one said, "I don't think it's him. It's probably his mom and dad. They probably sinned." And one brother said, "Ooh, I just can see it. Just a minute, Lord." I love the way you're saying. It's strange to me they can detect so much about you, can't detect who's a phony. But anyway, they had him out here, and they had him all lined up, and they said, "We got to decide who's a sinner here." Poor old blind boy sitting there. Here they are having a fuss. "I think he's a sinner." And one said, "I don't think he's as bad. He's a member of our church." "He's not with that swaggered bunch." what bunch he's with. Son, you're too blind to enjoy the choo-choo. Oh, and they're out here, and they are in a heated discussion over, and I mean, they've got dignitaries there. Scribes and Pharisees. They are there. I mean, these boys can make decisions. Because we've seen them on TV. Lord, I'm having a good time today. Can I hurry? And all of a sudden, the authority walks up. His name is Emmanuel, the Son of God. He's wisdom personified. Hallelujah. They said, Which one would you help, Jesus? Which one you think's right? He said, neither one of you. He's not blind because he sinned or because his parents sinned. He's blind because God Almighty is going to show his glory this very day. It will glorify God Almighty. Hallelujah! Jesus reaches down, get a little piece of clay, puts it in his mouth, says, hold still, buddy, I'm going to stick this mud in your eye. Not in our church. After all, this is First Assembly, and it's not in the bulletin. We... Come on! No mud in our eye in this church. I love it. Jesus said, hold still, buddy. I'm going to put this mud in your eye. I don't understand why he spit on a piece of clay. He could have laid hands on him. He could have spoke. But he wants to show his glory. He doesn't use the same means every time. Some of these boys got these revelations coming so fast, I'm afraid to get their signals mixed up. I don't want them getting me mixed up with one of the mothers. Hold still, I'm going to stick this mud in your eye. And Jesus takes spittle and clay and puts it in this blind man's eye. And he says, pal, go wash in the pool of Siloam and come back seeing. Starts out of church. Brother said, you got dirt in your eye. Just a minute, let me get a napkin. I want to get the mud, son. Your face is dirty. He said, leave it alone. I do not care how my face looks. It was put in there by a man that said I'd get my healing. Hallelujah. My Father God, do something. Step over our little man-made puny little services and give us a supernatural touch from God Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. I hope your face is clear out of shape by the time you leave here today. Got mud in his eye. Goes down to the pool. Gets down, said, I don't understand it. A few fellas are showing me how to get down these steps and where that water is. And they said, what's the matter? He said, you've been needing to wash your face quite a while. He said, that's not it. I'm not going to wash it up there in that basin. I've been in that church. Oh, I wish I could preach on that. Dear Lord, he met four or five different people with washcloths. Come over to our church. I want you to meet our pastor. He's Dr. Swab. He'll be speaking next Sunday night on the good points of Abraham Lincoln. And we're going to have a film on how to think yourself out of trouble by Dr. Blowhard, who is a psychologist. Would you shout now? You see, you can find plenty of wash pants. We've got them all up and down the road. They got a sign out in front of them. Some of them got a pretty fancy looking building. But he said, the master said, the pool of Siloam. Hallelujah. There is no substitute for his will. The old blind boy's down at the water now. Hallelujah. Get me in it, Lord. I don't care what they think up there. Hallelujah. When he got through washing the mud out of his eyes, all of a sudden, he saw trees he'd never seen. He saw people he'd never seen. Wow, I can see. I can see. I'm healed by the power of that name, Jesus. Came back to town shouting, hallelujah. Got the healing down there. Glory to God. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. And he was a great fella. He really got it, but he went back to the wrong church. He just knew that bunch would be glad to see him. Went back down to the synagogue. And the first fella he met said, say, are you the same old boy? Used to drink Bud Dummer? Are you the same old boy? Are you the blind man who used to be out here with this cup? I don't believe it. How did you, what happened to you? Well, he said, I was sitting out here alongside the road and two pastors were in a fuss over me. One of them said I sinned, the other one said my mom sinned. The other one said he thought my daddy did. And while they was fussing, a man came up and settled the whole thing. Spit on a piece of clay and put mud in my eye and sent me to the pool. I'm healed. And he said, well, what was his name? And he said, they called him Jesus. Oh, that don't have anything to do with him. He's a sinner. That's right. That's what they said. He is a sinner. They said, this man's a sinner. So they went, brought him in the synagogue, and he got threw out of the synagogue. They threw him out. It'd be a blessing if you got thrown out of some places. Lady got happy in church, and the ushers carried her out, and she said, I want you all to pray for me. Jesus was carried out of Jerusalem on one donkey, and two's got me this morning. Hey, it's strange to me that there are churches you couldn't drink too much booze or smoke too much cigarettes or dip too much snuff or go to too many theaters or gamble too much on the horses. Or you, in fact, I just don't know what you could already do. But if you dare not get too religious or too much of this Holy Ghost power, because you can get kicked out for that, or come back and testify you got your healing at the camp meeting. Glory, glory, glory. What are you going to tell him when you when you get home and say, I was right in the middle of it and had both hands up and the Holy Ghost came on me and I began to speak in tongues? I know, Pastor, you said it was the devil last Sunday, but what I got wasn't. Hallelujah! 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 I got to find it. I'm not near through with my message. And they brought his parents in. Said, parents, is this your son? That's our son, all right. Well, did he get his healing? Was the man Jesus? He said, well, they said, we're not sure how he got it. Because the book said they were afraid they'd get thrown out. That's better English. And so they wouldn't answer. They said, go ask him. And so one of them said, did you sure enough get your healing with Jesus? That's right. Jesus healed me. Well, he said, he's a sinner. He said, I don't know about that. I didn't get to see him. But one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. It doesn't matter what the crowd says. I know one thing. It's real. I got it. Hallelujah. Glory, choir, one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Glory. When your knower knows it, it's pretty hard for somebody to sell you on something, to talk you out of it once you've got it. Hallelujah. 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 It's real. One thing. I'm going to hurry. My time will get away. It already is. I got to catch a plane. Peter said, this one, be not ignorant of this one thing. Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And I read that and I thought, well, Lord, that means that God, your clock's not on the same, not on Central Standard Daylight Time. Because he neither slumbers or sleeps. Doesn't have to set an alarm. He's watching over you and you don't know he is. But then I begin to read it, and I thought, well, why would the Holy Ghost say, be not ignorant of this one thing. Ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord, this is 1,000 years. And I read it again. I said, Lord, what? One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. See, I'm not a date setter. I don't have any idea when he's coming. But from Adam until now has been about 6 days in God's calendar. 6,000 years. And the book says he hallowed, sanctified the seventh day. I'm not trying to preach some doctrinal, deep theological something, but it says the seventh day he hallowed it, and it was a Sabbath unto himself. All of a sudden, at the close of this sixth day in God's calendar, prophecy has begun to happen. Hallelujah. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost, a regathering of Israel, a reshaping of the nations, everything. All of a sudden, there's a Pentecostal revival that's sweeping the world, and they're preaching, Jesus is coming. Get ready. You're ransomed of Zion. He's coming back. We've been here about 6 days, Adam's race. And I read in the book of Hebrews, there remaineth a day. Get your shouting clothes on of rest. I heard doctors sounding brass say the other day, we're in the millennium. But I knew he was confused. Because in the millennium, he said, Christ would reign on this earth and saints would reign, kings and priests with him. Well, hallelujah. Hebrews said there's another day on God's calendar. We're not quite through. It's 6 days, but there's a seventh about to dawn. There's a new day coming. Well, I got the reading, and Hosea chapter 6 says, Israel, I have torn you, and I will heal you. I have scattered you, and I will regather you. And then there's a most astounding verse in Hosea 6:2. After 2 days, I will revive you, and the third day I will raise you up. Hallelujah. Get your shouting clothes on. God's clock is moving. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. We're looking, watching, waiting, longing, praying, expecting, because he's about to come. You say, Brother Brankle, are you setting dates? No, I don't have any idea. But it would thrill me if today, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, we could hear a trumpet sound and a king step out on the Milky Way and summons a blood-washed, redeemed bride to meet him in clouds of glory. Hallelujah. He's healer. He's savior. He's Lord. He's master. Be not ignorant. Ignorant of this one thing. I'm hurrying. For Paul writes in the same book, 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And in the same book, in the 5th chapter, he says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. For he tells us that we're not of the night, and that day won't overtake us as a thief. For there's times and seasons, brethren, you have no need to write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord is at hand. I've got a feeling in my heart the rapture will not slip up on anybody that's ready for it. Hallelujah! For unto them that look for him, he shall appear. All of a sudden, every index fingers begin to point to one thing, the return of the King of Glory. Hallelujah. When I read the other day about this Jewish rabbi that puts on a white robe and walks out every morning to see if he can find the Messiah, for he thinks the Messiah is about to show up. I got news. He's about to show up. But I don't think he'll run into him on the Jericho Road. I think you'll see him in clouds of glory with a trumpet call. He's coming. One thing. Paul said it. This one thing I do. I'm forgetting about all the past. And I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize. The high calling in Christ Jesus. I count it all dung. I forget about it. You don't need to talk about what I used to be. It's what I am now. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. One thing. I want to go to heaven. I want to hear him say, well done. I want to be ready when the trump of God sounds. The worst thing I could think of is the rapture take place. And you go and me be left behind. I want to ask you something. Where would you spend the night? If you're in church and part of the church is gone and part's left, what would you do? I'd beg, I'd cry, I'd run, I'd bellow, I'd repent, I'd do everything I could. Sir, you need to be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Father, let mercy flow through the building today.